When you start looking at the doctrine of the Trinity, it seems that people agree on one thing. It's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to talk about, hard to understand. Some, you know, just have to accept it even if you don't really think it makes sense. One preacher writes, "Preaching on Trinity Sunday often falls to the curate, while senior clergy supposedly sit back and tick off the heresies." It's not what happened today. I found it. Barbara Brown Taylor quotes one of her colleagues who says, "When human beings try to describe God, we are like a bunch of oysters trying to describe a ballerina. We simply do not have the equipment necessary to understand something so utterly beyond us, but that has never stopped us from trying." Another commentator writes of how the books about the Trinity don't exactly fly off the shelf, unlike Christian how-to books. "For the how-to junkies," this is a quote, "the thought of reading a book on the Trinity must feel like having to say, 'Theodore Oswald Twistle the thistle sifter sifted a sack of thistles.' Rather hard going, but pointless." So let's be honest. For many of us, Trinity Sunday probably isn't something we look forward to. It might feel dull, or only for someone who's been to seminary, or confusing. Or maybe we're afraid to think about it because we're afraid to learn it actually doesn't make sense at all. It certainly doesn't feel like good news. So I want to start there today with my own somewhat helpful, somewhat clumsy illustration. This is where I'm going to ask Alexander to come up. It's show and tell today, all right? Hold it like that. I'm going to have him walk around too. So I'm going to draw something, and you're going to tell me what I'm drawing. Cool. And I know it's kind of small, which is why he's going to walk around. Don't tell it yet. He's going to walk around. All right. Walk it around, Alexander. Hold it up high so we can see it. All right. All right. What's that drawing? A tractor. You can recognize this as a tractor. My three-year-old daughter can recognize it as a tractor. She is the reason I can do this drawing of a tractor. All right, this is, I told you, show and tell. We're moving on to the next one here. What's this? It's another tractor. A little bit of a better drawing of a tractor, right? You can still recognize it as a tractor. What's this? A tractor. It's a picture of a tractor. Look at that. So you can recognize all of these as tractors, right? I promise I'm going somewhere with this. You can recognize all these pictures as a tractor, even though some of them are more faithful representations than others. And here's my point. We can say true and understandable things about God as triune, even if we can never capture him fully, even if those of us with less skill and practice do so somewhat clumsily. And even better than that, we can say things about the triune God that actually make a difference to us on the deepest level. Because the fact that the God we worship is Trinity, three in one and one in three, is actually good news. My goal today is to say three true and understandable things about our triune God that help us experience this doctrine as good news. All right? So to get into my first point, let me ask you this question. How is it that all of us are able to recognize those drawings in that picture as tractors, even the really bare bones ones? It's because you've seen a tractor, or at least a really good picture of a tractor. So my brothers and sisters, when it comes to God, we have the whole tractor, the real tractor. We already have everything we need to know the triune God, because we are in relationship with the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. We are in relationship with the God who is triune, with the God who's revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have to go on a treasure hunt. God has already shown us who he is. It is all over Scripture, including our lectionary passages for today. When we look at Jesus, we see the triune God. Think back, if you've been in church with us, about the Scriptures from John we've heard the past few weeks. Jesus talks about he and the Father are one. The Father sent the Son. The Father will send the Spirit. The Spirit will receive from the Son and make known to us. These passages have been saturated with talk of the Trinity. Our liturgical worship is saturated with language of the Trinity, from the collect, the prayer at the beginning, to the creed, to the Eucharist, to the blessing at the very end. See, you don't have to be a math major to know truly the triune God. For we already have the Spirit in our hearts and in our community to make Jesus known. And as Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm going to take this tractor analogy way too far today. You don't have to know how the tractor works to ride in the tractor. Okay. If you are a Christian, you are already in relationship with the triune God, because the Trinity is who God is when he's at home, not just a personality he puts on when he goes out on the town. And that's why this doctrine matters, because this is who God is. We worship one God in three persons, not three gods, not one God with three different hats, not one Father who created two lesser beings. One God in three persons, without hierarchy, without division, without confusion, world without end. Amen. That is the God in whose name you were baptized, who you are already in relationship with by his Spirit in you. You have the whole tractor. You already have everything you need to know the triune God fully. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My second true thing is this. God is triune means we worship a God who doesn't need us. Now, that probably doesn't sound like good news at first. We like to be needed, or at least I do. Being needed tends to make us feel secure, safe from being tossed away or traded in. But when it comes to God, this is good news, because the doctrine of the Trinity teaches us that God exists as perfect love and communion in who he is, and he always has. God didn't create us out of loneliness, or he was bored one day, or because he needed something. Before God was creator, God was Father. Before God was redeemer, God was Son. Before God was sanctifier, God was Spirit. Before creation itself, all the things we see around us, the triune God was full of love and life and creativity and perfect joyful communion between the three persons of the Trinity. God needed nothing else. Before creation itself, there was mutuality and abundant giving and love between the persons of the Trinity. How extraordinary. We get hints of this perfect love and life in Jesus' words in places like John 17:24. Where he speaks of the Father loving him before the creation of the world. In fact, you just go back and read Jesus' farewell talk in John, these chapters that we've been in, you'll get a pretty good picture of this joyful mutual love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fred Sanders calls this the happy land of the Trinity, complete, inexhaustibly full, and infinitely blessed. You see, God didn't start giving of himself when we got into trouble. Rather, from all time, the persons of the Trinity have been outpouring for one another, the Father loving the Son and the love of the Spirit. As Susanna Wesley put it, he is being itself, and as such must necessarily be infinitely happy in the glorious perfections of his nature from everlasting to everlasting. And as he did not create, so neither did he redeem because he needed us, but he loved us because he loved us. He loved us because he loved us. He loved us because God is love in his very core, truly unselfish love that needs nothing from us because it lacks nothing in itself, like a gigantic ever-living star pumping out endless stores of light and heat and energy. This love we receive from God, the love Paul says the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts, is overflow from God's endless store. The love the Spirit can bring to life in us for God and for one another is the same quality of love, truly unselfish, abundantly giving for the good of the other, needing nothing in return because we're saturated in the love of the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit given to us. You see, it's good news that God doesn't need us, because as Trinity, God is utterly full and satisfied and loved and loving and creative and giving totally apart from us. What a different kind of love that is than the imperfect and partial love we so often offer one another. Our love, my love, too often looks like my drawing of the tractor rather than the real thing, because we are needy creatures. But because we are in communion with God by the Holy Spirit, we do have this love already available to us and in us. And the Holy Spirit can and will make it real in our lives. When we are immersed in this communion of love, we too lack nothing. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My third true thing is this. God as triune shares the abundance of God's own life with us. So if my last point was more about who God is as triune in himself, this point is about what God does as triune. So one of the questions I brought into my sermon preparations this week was why Trinity Sunday often includes passages about God as creator. Because when I think about the doctrine of the Trinity, that's not usually where I start. But take a look again, or if you're familiar with the Nicene Creed, or you can flip over a few pages, look at how it's structured. It talks about God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. One Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. When we go back to Scripture itself, we see that God did create through triune action. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by his word, as his spirit hovered over the waters of the deep. Let us make humanity in our image, in our likeness. Proverbs points to wisdom's role alongside God in creation, pointing to the role of the Spirit. Just as we read in last week's Psalm, you send forth your Spirit and they are created. The opening words of John also point to the Son's role. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. God created, made, and gave life. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the beginning. As one commentator puts it, life is something that God has always had, and in creation it is something he now shares with us. And what abundant life God created. Look at the vastness of the heavens, the moon and the stars, the glory of the mountains, the wonders of the deep, the trees, as Leslie and Gill might say. Look at the sheer variety and majesty of the created world. The blue whales and the flamingos and the duck-billed platypus and the hummingbirds and the lizards and the billions of tiny creatures that we can't even see. Look outside at the spring and the green, the riot of flowers and weeds popping up all over the place, the earthworms, the fruits and vegetables and dandelions. You want to get a taste of what the abundant life of the triune God is like? Look at the abundance of creation. I love how Proverbs describes wisdom as filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in God's whole world and delighting in humankind. See, the triune God delights in giving and sharing God's life in creation. And the triune God delights in giving and sharing God's life in new creation, in redemption. For the true tragedy of sin was that human beings became cut off from this abundant life and presence of the triune God, cut off from that delight. And in response, in the words of John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father, Son, love, sound familiar? So that whoever believes in him, whoever is born again by the Spirit, should not perish but have eternal life. And later in John, Jesus tells us exactly what eternal life is. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Did you catch that? To know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to have that eternal quality of life, that abundant, joyful, creative, fruitful life we get a glimpse of in creation. Knowing God the Father in Christ by the Holy Spirit is to have that water of life running out of me, to have that music in our soul that means we can't help but sing, to have the rhythm in our toes and legs and hips so that we can't help but dance, as Jay started his sermon last week, just as the Holy Trinity dances and whirls and spins and sings from all eternity. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, you and I were created not so that we might behave in a certain way, but so that we might know the triune God and be drawn into the abundance of his life and love. To be with God as we were in the garden. The possibility of that life with the Father is what the Son restored to us in his reconciling work. The Spirit makes that life actual for us. Because since we have the Spirit in us, God himself dwells in us and with us, as he always desired to do. God as triune means that God is with us. transforming us, filling us with his life because of the Spirit in us. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have everything we need, the real tractor. The triune God is a God who doesn't need us because of the superabundance of love and communion within God himself. The triune God is a God who's filled with vibrant life and chooses to share that life with us. This is all very good news. But if we stop there, we've stopped a bit short. You might say we've marveled at the tractor but not gotten on board. Marveling at the Trinity of love and life ought to move us to respond in worship and delight. First, let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the one name we praise, not three names, the way it often sounds. We praise you, O God, for your creativity. We praise you for your abounding love that isn't about something we've done for you or even something you want us to do for you, but because love is who you are in yourself. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being that perfect love. Thank you for the beauty of creation and the beauty of new creation. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until the work on earth is done. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And second, let us delight in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When was the last time you and I simply delighted in God? I've been reflecting on the words of the Westminster Catechism this week, which is not part of my growing up, but it might be familiar to you. The chief duty of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I never really thought about that before. The triune God is beautiful and creative and joyful. When we delight in creation, as many of us do, let's bask in the delight of the triune God who made it good and gave it to us to enjoy. When we delight in one another, let us delight in the triune God who is perfect communion and community, and who can create good and beautiful community for us as well. This is possible by the Spirit, who is God in us, the hope of glory. So how do we do that, worship and delight in God? One way we do that is simply to enter into worship together each week. That's why we're here, to worship the triune God. That's why you and I are here. As our friend and fellow pastor Kevin Miller puts it, it's in worship that we learn to pray to and with the Trinity. That's where we're given the words we need to approach God. So if you want to get to know the Trinity better, come to worship. Another way we do that is when we seek to live holy lives, lives that reflect God's character, lives that are about God's mission. When we reconcile with one another, when we confess our sins to one another and forgive each other, when we choose to pursue community together rather than going our own way. These are things that also bring glory and worship to our triune God, who is perfect community. Delight might sound more difficult, depending on where you're at today. And certainly there's no one-size-fits-all prescription for joy, but all I can tell you is this. In preparing this sermon on the Trinity this week, taking time to think about and explore the Trinity, I have experienced tremendous delight and a deep sense of rest in God's love. I don't always have that, and I haven't in a really long time. We have the whole tractor. And that means the joy and delight of the Trinity itself is close at hand. May God the Father, who delights in you, God the Son, who loves you and gave himself for you, and the Holy Spirit, who is in you, making you new, well up in your heart today with worship and overflowing delight. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.